How's the audio? This is a new piece of equipment that they're allowing me to audition today. So a lot of faith you guys got in me. The joy of grandchildren. There's this grandma. She decides to go visit her daughter and her granddaughter. And while they're sitting on the couch, the granddaughter comes over to her mom and says, "Ma, how come you're getting gray hair, you know, on the edges around your ears?" And the mother says, "Well, every time you're naughty and every time you disobey me, I get another gray hair." And this little granddaughter steps back and she puts her hands on her hips and she looks her mom in the eye and she says, "What did you do to grandma?" I got to tell you that my faith, I had the opportunity for my faith to grow this week because of the preparation time that I wouldn't do otherwise unless I had to come up here and share the word with you. And I won't tell you how many hours that I spent, well, at least a dozen, where I was just with the Lord and with his word, and we were together. And there's nothing like that. And that comes because I was so focused, and I'm grateful for this, the men that are here. I am so thankful for this opportunity. And before we get into this, I just want to share with you briefly is I'm from New York, so there's two chapters to cover. So if I talk twice as fast and you catch half as much, we're still even, okay? And I got to warn you, I talk at 130 miles an hour, gusts up to 140. So you got to be prepared. I'll share something with you, and it's about decisions. And I had the National Football League coaches as a client. I had a disability product that I was the exclusive guy to bring in there. And one day I went to see the Kansas City Chiefs, and I went with this fellow, Michael Klingelsmith, and the plan was I would go in and do the presentation, and then Michael would do the follow-up. See, Michael was a gold medal world wrestling champion, and he wrestled for Cornell in college. And we're pulling into the parking lot of Arrowhead Stadium, and I get a call on my cell phone, and it's Andre Collins, who's the executive director of the National Football League Retired Players Association. And he says, "Tom, I need to speak with you." I said, "Andre, I need to speak with you too, but I'm on my way in to see the coaching staff at Arrowhead right here, and let me get with you on the other side." And he said, "Tom, I don't have one fond memory of Arrowhead Stadium, not one fond memory of Arrowhead Stadium. Call me when you're done." So we go in, and we're standing before these two big white doors, and behind me is the tunnel that they go out to the stadium, and it was April, and I could smell fresh-cut grass. And the doors, we're supposed to open at 2:30 for our meeting, and it's 2:40, and it's 2:45, and this is bad. The NFL runs like a stopwatch, right? All this, and you know who's in there? It's the referee going over the rule changes for the year. And one thing's for sure, if you want to see the anatomy of a man's neck, just talk to an NFL coach about referees. They just get all worked up instantly. So the doors open. I walk in, and I'm at the bottom of the theater. And the NFL referee comes running out, and his papers are all over the place. His shirt's untucked. His hair's out of place. He looks disheveled, and he's like, he can't wait to get out of Dodge. Okay? We walk in, and the feeling is immediately, we hate the NFL referee, and we hate you because you're next. So I walk in, and I see there's this AV stand, and I go and I put my laptop on it, and this guy, Bob Carmelowitz, there's seating all over this big theater room, and the seats are about, you know, they're about love seat size, cause so they could fit in the big NFL linemen, and Bob Carmelowitz is over there, and he says, "Tom, just talk," and I'm trying to get my thing set up, my laptop to do a visual, the PowerPoint, and the AV guy is standing there, and I said, "Carm, I don't have, I don't know what to say unless it comes up on the screen," and he says, "No, Tom, just talk." And the AV guy is standing there, and his hand is trembling. He doesn't know whether to plug me in or not. And I could hear Andre Collins saying, "I don't have one fond memory of Arrowhead Stadium." At that moment, Mike Klingelsmith steps forward. He says, "Gentlemen, we're here today to talk to you about a decision. Let me tell you about a decision that I made." He said, "See, I got recruited by every college and university in the country for wrestling, and I decided on Cornell because I really, really, really liked the coach." Now, Wes Chandler, who was the receivers coach, who's about from me to you away, he's the guy who caught all those passes from Dan Fouts. He's coaching now for the what's that team again? The Kansas City Chiefs, right? He's like getting in his chair, and he looks like he's about to take a nap because he looks at Michael, and Michael's looks about as young as the players, although he was 34 years old at the time. He looked like he was 24. And he says, "Gentlemen, we're here today to talk to you about a decision. Let me tell you about a decision I made." And he's thinking, this guy, he's too young to tell me anything that it could benefit me. And then Michael said, see, I wrestled for the United States in the World Games. I beat the guy from Hungary. I beat the guy from Germany. I beat the guy from Brazil. And I'm in the finals against the guy from India, who's the fastest and most skilled wrestler I ever faced in my entire life. He said, with 43 seconds to go, I could hear my ACL crack like a rifle shot. He said, I had a decision to make. Can I keep this guy off me for 43 seconds? And he looked around the room, and he gazed in the eyes of every single coach. And then he said, gentlemen, that day we heard the Star Spangled Banner. And all the coaches were focused on him, and Wes Chandler didn't take a nap. And he turned around and he says, our managing director from New York, Tom Lawton, and I was plugged in by then, and I got to do the presentation. So the reason that I bring up Michael is twofold, is that he made a decision to go into the battle, although he was wounded, and win the battle. He also made a decision. See, he died shortly after. He was killed by a drunk driver near LBJ Lake in Dallas. And I got to eulogize him at his funeral. And I got to share the gospel in a Catholic church in Norman, Oklahoma, with about 2,000 people in it. And I told him about the decisions that Michael made, and I shared that same story. And I also knew that he's a believer. Now, there's defining moments that we all have in our lives. And in the past couple of weeks, we got to see, you know, I remember learning very long ago, like you gotta show up. You gotta show up on time, you gotta show up dressed to play. Scott Peterson, does anybody know who Scott Peterson is? Who is he? He could be. Scott Peterson was the sheriff in Boward who showed up for work, was dressed to play, and when the gunshots went off, he went the other way. See, life has defining moments, and we don't know when that's going to be. I don't think Scott Peterson got up that morning and said, you know what, when there's gunfire, I'm going the other way. See, in advance, we have to make decisions. And one of the verses that has been hanging with me, see, I don't know when all these things are going to happen, but I absolutely believe that they do and they will, because God says us that these things are about to occur. This is Bible prophecy. Now, I'm not an expert on Revelation, okay? I will share with you what God has shared with me this morning, and I don't know everything. I look around here, and I think I'm the youngest guy in the room, and I'm just so grateful to have the opportunity to share this with you. I will share with you a couple of, Bob, you think you're younger? Maybe Bob's younger. He's better looking. With regard to the tribulation, I used to be pre-trib for many, many years. I read a book by Marvin Rosenthal, who does the Zion's magazine, and now I'm pre-wrath. Just, I want to let you know, full disclosure here. I'm more persuaded by that, but I don't know which one is right. I used to believe the Antichrist would come out of the European community. Now I think he could come out of the Middle East. I don't know where he's coming from. But if anybody has enlightenment on that, you know, I'd love to hear about it. And let me just dive in here and get started. And I'm going to jump to the Message Bible, because I worked through the King James, the Amplified, and I had like four Bibles going. I was on the web. I was, you know, and this is a verse that spoke to me. It says, they weren't in love with themselves. They were willing to die for Christ. This is in the Message Bible. Let me just jump right to verse 7. I know most of you guys always start at verse 1. I'm going to go to verse 7 and then go back to verse 1. It says, salvation and power are established. Now, this is the Message Bible. So if you don't have a Message Bible, this is going to be different. It says, salvation and power are established. Kingdom of our God, authority of his Messiah, the accuser of our brothers and sisters thrown out, the accuser who accused them day and night before God. They defeated him through the blood of the Lamb and the bold word of their witness. They weren't in love with themselves. They were willing to die for Christ. Yes, sir, chapter 12. I'm in verses like 7 through 12. It doesn't tell you exactly in the Message Bible. So rejoice, O heavens, and all those who live there, but doomed to the earth and sea. For the devil come down, for the devil's come down on both your feet. He's had a great fall. He's wild and raging with anger. He hasn't much time, and he knows it. So here's John. It's 95 years, you know, B.C. He has this vision. Satan has been a student of Bible prophecy. He probably knows it better than any man that's ever lived. And now he's loose. And we're looking here. Let me go back to the King James. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. So when we look at this, the woman clothed is Israel. You know, we got the woman clothed here is Israel, and then upon her head is the clothed with the sun, the moon, and upon her feet the head with 12 stars. That's likely to be the 12 tribes of Israel. And then we're talking here about a child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. This has to be talking about our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. And there appeared another woman. Wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. So that's Satan. Okay. The red dragon. And when we look at crowns, that's authority, that's power, that's governments. So now, his tail drew a third of the stars from heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered and to devour the child as soon as it was born. So when we look at devouring children, Pharaoh tried to wipe out the men that were born of the women in Egypt. Haman, in the book of Esther, wanted to take out all the Jews. And Hitler, we all know what Hitler tried to do. So there we go. We got verses 1 through 4 there. So these 10 horns are symbolic of the governments of Satan. And these governments has to be in his control, because Satan is in control of Persia, and he wrestled the rulers in Daniel 10. You know, talked about the evil spirits that were told to pray for those, and we're told to pray for those in authority. And the red dragon is blood, murder, and death. And Jesus said it in John 8:44, the devil is a murderer. And for the beginning is that, you know, and he talked about kill, steal, and destroy. Now I go to verse 5 in chapter 12. Am I talking too fast?
No.
Okay. And she brought forth a man-child, who was for rule all nations with a rod of iron. So Isaiah talks to us about, you know, a child is born, unto us a son is given, the government shall rest upon his shoulder, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace, who shall rule, and if we look in the Amplified, rule means shepherd. So this is Jesus. So we have Jesus who shall rule the answer with a rod of iron. And if we look in Revelation 19:15, the rod of iron, describes Jesus. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, and with that he should smite all the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. So this is for sure Jesus, who was caught up unto God and to his throne. So this is Christ. So he's here, and now he's up with the Father. He's up with the Most High. And the woman fled to the wilderness, and she hath prepared a place of God, that they should feed her there for 1,260 days. So this sounds like part of the tribulation. Three and a half years. That's right. You guys are good with math. Thank you. See, Satan, since the beginning, way back before the foundation of the earth, he was one of the most beautiful beings that God created. He was arguably the most beautiful. And it's kind of hard to imagine. And he wasn't satisfied with that. He wanted to be exalted. He wanted to be worshipped. He wanted to be the main event. He wanted to be God. He wanted to be like God. He wanted the men of the world to exalt him. And there was a war in heaven. Now, this is a war coming in the future as far as I can understand it. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and the angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found in heaven anymore. And the great dragon was cast out, that the old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out unto the earth, and the angels were cast out with him. So there's the fall from the presence of God, which was Satan, into the second heaven, which is where he is now. This describes a second fall to earth. And then there'll be a third fall to the bottomless pit and a fourth fall into the lake of fire. So right now, a lot of people think that Satan's in hell. From what I understand here, Satan is in the second heaven. That's where he can rise up to. And the first heaven is what we see. The second heaven is paradise. And the third heaven is where the throne room is. Some guys are shaking their heads. So the woman fled in time of persecution for Israel. God protected her and nourished her. And he restored her during that time. And then we want to stand our guard. This is a time of great distress. And we need to decide to be ready. We need to be prepared to be ready. And that's why I brought up Michael about the decision to be with the Lord, and at the same time the decision to go into the battle. Because there is a battle. The battle's going on all the time. It's all around us. And Greg and I had lunch earlier, and was it this week or last week?
Monday.
It was Monday. And one thing that Greg said to me, and I want to share this with you, is that the closer that we're walking with the Lord, the more that we're with him, the more that we're on point with what his mission and best purpose and use is for us, the more attack we get. So if you're a basketball player and you're just wandering around center court eating popcorn, you know, the devil's not going to attack you. But if you're going into the paint and you're moving to make a play, he's going to come after you. But remember, greater is he that is in you and me than he that is in the world. And we got to put on the armor every day, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, our feet ready with the gospel of peace, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, and the shield of faith. And we need to be nimble with the weapons that he's given us. Because this could vary. I don't know when this is going to occur, but it seems to me, and I'm the young guy, that things are happening real fast. It seems like world events just, they're picking up speed. You know, I watch Fox News. Does anybody else watch Fox News? You know, and at the end they do the quotables. And the quotables, on Friday they do the quotables for a few minutes. And it's like, oh my God, look at all the news that just happened in 1 week. You know, it wasn't like that. It didn't seem like that anyways to me that it was like that. It seems like things are picking up speed. And here's my favorite verse in chapter 12. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. So it seems here, they that overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, this is about the cross. This is about, this world is going to be a place that, my goodness, if we're in the midst of this when this happens, it's going to be terrible. And we could be the terminal generation. There's nothing that says we're not. And I guess I'm coming here with a warning. I mean, that was a word that came to me throughout my studies: warning, 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 warning. And the other word that I kept getting was be prepared, be prepared, be prepared. Because life is made up of moments, and moments. Like, there are moments of decision. Like, that guy, Scott Peterson, went to work. He showed up. He showed up on time. He was dressed to play. He had his firearm. He heard gunfire, and he went the other way. Michael Klingelsmith blows out his knee and goes into the battle. So we need to be ready when it's our moment. And we don't know when that moment's going to be. Peterson got up that morning. He wasn't saying, "Geez, I got to go to. I'm going to work today, and I'm going to be ready to shoot a terrorist." He didn't. He wasn't thinking that. And I bet you today, if he could take that moment back, if he could go back and do that morning over again, I bet you that he would run in there with his gun in hand and fire on the killer. So we got to be ready when the moment comes. And rejoice, ye heavens, that ye dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath a short time. So he's not just going to be here. He's coming with great wrath. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, and he was persecuted, the woman which brought forth the man-child, and the woman were given two wings of a great eagle. Now, I don't know what that is. Maybe part of Israel's airlifted out, and maybe the great eagles of the United States. I don't know. I just thought of that while I was reading it. And God didn't tell me, no, that's not it. So I'm not sure. So that she may fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. So again, there's this part of the tribulation. And the serpent cast out of its mouth water as a flood after the woman, and might cause her to be carried away by the flood, and the earth helped her. So the earth has to be people, okay? Helped her, helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon cast out of its mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So when I read the last part of verse 17 and have the testimony of Jesus Christ, that's got to be the believers. That's got to be his church. That's got to be us. So are we still here, or did we go up in the tribulation and these are new believers? That was what somebody else said. I don't know the answer. Okay. How am I doing so far? Are you guys with me? Are you feeling me? Okay. You want me to speed it up? Okay. So, I got 8 pages of notes. So, let's go to chapter 13 here. And I stood upon the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea. So this beast, often beasts mean governments, having 7 heads and 10 horns. But wait, whoops, that describes something different there. And the sea, if we say rise up out of the sea, hang on a minute. Let's go to Revelation 17, 15. Stay with me. Revelation 17, 15. The waters which thou sawest, if we go down to the end of that verse, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. So this beast rose up out of the peoples, because the sea is peoples, every nation, every tongue, having 10 horns and 10 crowns upon the heads of the name blasphemy. So, and the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet that of a bear, and the mouth that of a lion, and the dragon gave him power and his seat and great authority. So that takes us back to Daniel 7. You know what's interesting is that when we did Daniel, I got to do Daniel 7. Right? So God is, you know, he's getting me ready here. Let me just catch up in my notes where I'm supposed to be. Take up our cross, rejoicing. Okay. Dennis, I'm sorry. I'm getting there. Okay. So, remember back in Daniel, God gave Nebuchadnezzar a dream, and then Nebuchadnezzar said to all his musicians and magic men, he says, "You got to tell me the dream before you tell me the interpretation." And they're saying, "No, tell us the dream, and we'll tell you the interpretation." He says, "I ain't falling for that." And Daniel comes in and says, "You know, the Most High God can tell you the interpretation, and he can tell you the dream. and Daniel proceeds to tell him the dream. What I thought was pretty interesting is how Daniel, and when you look at Daniel, he saw in one order, and then John was looking 500 years later in the rearview mirror and saw the beast in the reverse order. So I thought that was pretty interesting. And he saw the heads which were wounded to death, and the deadly wound was healed for all the world wondered after the beast. So here's the beast, takes on this fatal wound, and then heals. Now, who's Satan trying to imitate there? Christ, right? And they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who was like unto the beast? Who was able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given. Okay, power was given. Who gave him the power? Who gave him the power? God gave him the power. Now, if we look at chapter 13, it was given is mentioned four times. So God is allowing this to occur. God is allowing this to happen. I remember when I was a kid, they put a tone on the television and we'd get the words, this is a test. This is only a test of the emergency broadcast system. I remember getting up so early to watch the Three Stooges. I used to put that on and just watch the bullseye and listen to the tone because the Stooges were on 10 minutes later, but I was ready. So the words I got in these scriptures were warning, warning, warning. Be prepared. Warning, warning, warning. Be prepared. And be prepared for our test. We're all going to face a test. And we may be in one now. Some of you guys may be in the test of your lives, or you may be tomorrow. I don't know. Only the Most High knows. But we need to continue to trust, continue to believe, and according to Scripture, be ready to die. And do we really believe what we say we believe? Is that our identity? I mean, that Scott Peterson went to work, showed up on time, showed up dressed to play, and ran from his moment. We got to be ready for our moment. And it was given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And the power was given to them all over all kindreds and tongues and nations. So no matter how strong we are, no matter what we're going to do, this is predetermined that the believers and the saints that are here are on the losing end of the battle. And Daniel talks about that as well. And all that dwell on the earth shall worship him whose names are written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. All that dwell on the earth, upon the earth, shall worship him whose names were not written. I said written, not written. In the book of life. So we're going to be a minority. And we're going to be on the wrong side of this particular victory in this particular battle. If any man have an ear, let him hear, and that leadeth to captivity, let it go into captivity, and killeth with the sword, must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. So whatever happens to the saints, it says patience and faith of the saints there. And it says, in chapter 7, it says, and it was given to him to make war with the saints. So I don't know if we're here or not. Because in chapter 7 it says it was given to him to make war with the saints. The saints are referred to over and over again as us. And he's having war with the saints in chapter 7. Are those new saints and we're already gone? And there's new saints that have started to believe? Or is this the old saints that are still here? I don't know the answer. It's in God's timing. And Daniel was heartbroken, and I'm wondering if I could find the verse where he talked about how that pained him so. So this over here is I don't know the answer, but I know that God gave to me warning, 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 be prepared. And we better answer that. And any man have ear, let him hear. This is important. You better listen. And he that leadeth into that captivity shall go into captivity. And he that killeth with the sword and patience and faith of the saints. So that we got to rest in God. So if we're on the losing side of this battle, we got to know that we know that we know that we know that the Lord God will, he will get, he is our vengeance. And vengeance is the Lord's. So the first verses here up to this point are about the Antichrist. Now I'm going to go up to chapter or verse 11. And I beheld another beast coming out of the earth that had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. So another beast, this is the false prophet, and he's likely to be a religious leader, and many people think he's likely to be Jewish. And now this false prophet is going to get behind the Antichrist, and he's going to tell the world how wonderful he is. And he that existeth all power of the first beast before him and causes the earth and them to, which dwell herein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. That was mentioned twice, the deadly wound was healed. So he's really trying to imitate the Lord Jesus Christ with this wonder. So this Antichrist and this beast, the Antichrist is going to have a number of, he's going to be followed by miracles, signs, and wonders. He's going to be able to call fire down from heaven. He's going to do things. He, again, remember, Satan, who was this amazing, beautiful creature created by God, wants worship. And he is in the spiritual realm and able to exercise spiritual gifts and spiritual things. And many, many are going to be fooled by that. Many are going to be deceived, and they're going to turn and follow him. Warning, 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 be prepared. And he will do great wonders, make its fire come down from heaven, and the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell in the earth, and by the means of those miracles which had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell in the earth that they should make an image to the beast, and which had the wound by a sword and did live. Here we go again with the wound. Three times in these two chapters, we hear about this wound and then he lived. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, and the image of the beast should both speak and cause that many as would not worship the image of the beast should be what? Killed. So who's that? If you're not worshiping the beast, who are you? And what's going to happen to you? Okay. Can you imagine, like, I get to come and tell you guys this? I mean, I don't like the message, you know? And he that causeth both great and small, rich and poor. Imagine this image, though. I mean, this is going to be better than a Disney feature, you know, or something out of Universal Studios. There's going to be a beast that's going to have, like, going to be so real that people are going to fall for all this. I mean, I'm just trying to put that together. I give that to you for your own thought. And he causes both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive the mark in their right hand and in their foreheads. So the foreheads is the public mark. Hi, I'm with the beast. You know, this is, I got my helmet on. It's right here. And then the other people have it on their right hand, so it's not as open. So maybe there's sort of secret beast followers and public beast followers and, you know, just a thought there. And that no man may buy or sell save that the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of man, which is the number 666. So we got the number 666. I read in a couple of different places that if you take the name Jesus and translate it to the Greek, and then you take the Greek letters, they correspond to Greek numbers. And if you take the numbers of the corresponding letters in the Greek of the name of Jesus, it comes out 888, which is a new week, a new octave. It's new. So we get to go through this where if you don't have the image of the beast or the mark of the beast, you should be killed. After that, we go to the newness. Now, I didn't get to go through my notes. I guess that was God's plan. I just want to leave you with these two thoughts, is that warning, warning, warning. Be prepared. Are you ready? Because defining moments are coming. Thank you.